Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Leading up to 5 o'clock at Bill's pregame here on The Sports Leader, we appreciate you stopping by the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. We want to make you a smarter, more educated Buffalo Bills fan. We talked to the brightest minds covering this team, guys like Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic, who stops by on a Fairburn Friday. Matthew, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Matthew, tonight, storylines galore with this game. Can we hope for Josh Allen at least to see a little action with the ones tonight?
I don't know if that's going to happen. I think if it does, it'll be towards the end of the time that the starters are in there. But I would say he stands a really good chance of seeing some time with the second team offense. I mean, he practiced there all week. I don't know if they're going to maybe push up the timetable a little bit and get him some time with the ones. But at the very least, he should get some time with the twos. And that's a welcome, you know, thing for this team, because it's going to be a lot easier to evaluate Josh Allen and exactly where he is in his development if he's in there with the second team offense, because you can only learn so much when he's working against third stringers and with third stringers. So even the second team offense will be a nice bump up for Allen, but I'm not ruling out seeing him with the first group.
Safe to assume AJ McCarron then, given that he was getting the first team reps at least earlier this week in practice?
Yeah, it's tricky. They were switching off all week. You know, if you follow the pattern, then AJ McCarron would get, you know, the start tonight. But I don't know that I can really sit here and, you know, pin down a pattern or the way Sean McDermott is thinking on any of this rotation. I think it's huge news if McCarron doesn't start, let's put it that way, because that would be a sign that, you know, unless they're giving two to Peterman early and, you know, have McCarron, you know, run the first team offense in the third game. But I still think it's pretty significant news if McCarron isn't the one starting. That's not to say he'll definitely get the start, but I think that's the way this thing is trending.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Matthew, here comes a question. Give yourself a second to think about it. Today, who is the better option at quarterback if he were still here? Would it be Josh Allen, Nate Peterman, A.J. McCarron, or Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question of the day, right? I mean, I think Tyrod Taylor is probably the best 2018 option, at least week one through, you know, the foreseeable future. Now, that being said, I think Josh Allen will get there. And the move that the Bills made wasn't about week one of 2018 and who would be the better option. The move they made was trying to get better for the long term. That might not work. You know, Josh Allen might not pan out, but I can't fault them for wanting to be better than they were with Tyrod Taylor. That's, again, I think Tyrod Taylor is a fine quarterback. I think he'll do good things in Cleveland this year. And I think right now, you know, tonight, he'll be probably the best quarterback on the field unless Baker Mayfield does some crazy stuff. But I think in the short term, Tyrod Taylor would have been the best option. But the Bills are constantly in that balance of, you know, seeing what's best in the short term and what's best in the long term, and they decided to hit the reset button at quarterback, and I think it's tough to blame them while at the same time recognizing Tyrod Taylor did a lot for this football team last year and in previous years. He's got a lot of talent, brings a lot to the table, but he's tough to figure out. You know, he's tough to pin down as a true franchise guy. He was always kind of in the middle, but I still think, you know, he'd be the best option tomorrow, but we could be sitting here in December and Josh Allen could have progressed past him to that point. So it's a tricky one.
Matthew Fairburn, The Athletic, our guest in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Matthew, watching this quarterback competition play out through camp, through practice, through preseason games, is one of these guys pulling away? I mean, is somebody actually going to win this competition, or when it's all said and done, Sean McDermott's just going to basically take the lesser of three evils?
Nobody's pulled away to this point, but that's not to say that, you know, nobody will pull away. They still have two really important preseason games, including tonight, that will probably help decide, you know, the fate of, you know, this quarterback competition. I view this in, you know, a couple different ways. I think there's a couple different competitions going on here. AJ McCarron and Nathan Peterman are competing against one another to see, you know, who among them gives the Bills the best chance to win. Then I think Josh Allen is competing against himself to get ready, because I think the second Josh Allen is deemed ready, and it's an inexact science. We don't know exactly what ready is, what it looks like. It's ready in the eyes of Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. Josh Allen is in a race to get there. Will he get there by week one against the Ravens? I'm not so sure. But whenever he gets there, I think that's when the Bills will put him in. Unless A.J. McCarron or Nathan Peterman goes out and has an Alex Smith-type season from a year ago where the team is winning and, you know, one of these quarterbacks is producing to the point where you can't take them off the field. I think as soon as Josh Allen is ready, he's going in, because it's very clear, as muddied as this quarterback competition has been, it's very clear that Allen is the most talented of the three quarterbacks.
Right.
So when you figure that out, you just say he's just got to get ready. He doesn't even have to worry about these other two guys and being in a competition with them, because they almost haven't set it up that way. It's like Allen's development is the most important thing, and then if he's not ready, the secondary concern is figuring out whether Nathan Peterman or AJ McCarron gives you the better chance to win. And quite frankly, it's splitting hairs between the two. I don't know that one or the other is going to make a humongous difference. The biggest difference is going to come when Josh Allen is ready to take that step and lead the first team and be the guy. But they know they have to make sure he's ready, because you cannot put him in the starting lineup week one and then week three say, actually, he doesn't look ready, let's pull him. You know, once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't put it back in.
Yeah, see Deshaun Kizer last year, 0-16, and that didn't go very well. Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic joining us. One of the stories you have up on The Athletic website right now, 10 thoughts on the Bills roster as training camp ended. And, you know, we're 48 hours from camp breaking there. One of the items caught my attention here. You asked the question, is Matt Milano feeling heat? Is Matt Milano in danger of losing his starting job, Matthew Fairburn?
I think he is on some level. I mean, he's losing reps in practice. And if you're losing reps in practice, your starting job isn't safe. He's not losing reps because he's hurt or because he needs a breather. He hasn't earned the veteran days off that Lorenzo Alexander and Kyle Williams get. He's losing reps because he's not, you know, doing things that are keeping him in the good graces of the coaching staff on a day-to-day basis. Lucky for him, he doesn't have a tremendous amount of competition. Ramon Humber can play the run okay. He's not very good in pass coverage. Keenan Robinson can, you know, he can cover and he's fast, but he's a bit unproven as well. But let's not forget, Matt Milano is a fifth-round pick. He had his moments last year, but anybody ready to, you know, consider this guy the next Brian Urlacher, I think is skipping ahead a few steps. He should be a decent player for this team, but I don't know if he's the long-term solution at that position. And I think he shouldn't think that, at least not yet. He needs to have the attitude that he needs to prove himself. And in the first preseason game, he didn't play particularly well. And so I think he is feeling some heat. I think he should be. And, you know, that's the atmosphere that Sean McDermott has created, that there's going to be competition across the roster. And if that's the case, why shouldn't Matt Milano have to scrap and claw for his job just like anybody else? And to this point, the other guys have done enough to at least close the gap. I still think Milano is probably your week one starter, but he's got to turn things around a little bit here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week when we had you on, Matthew. I mean, it felt like that second level of the defense felt like a weakness in a unit that's supposed to be improved over last year, and it might just be the harsh reality that, you know, while Sean McDermott might have his equivalent to Luke Kuechly in Tremaine Edmonds, he doesn't have his Thomas Davis in place yet, and that might not come until next season at the earliest.
Right, I mean, like I said, Matt Milano was a fifth-round pick, so it's not like you're assuming he's going to become the next star. He could. I mean, you know, it's not to say a fifth-round pick automatically stinks, but, you know, Tremaine Edmonds looks like a cornerstone. The rest of the linebacking core is pretty open at this point. I mean, you need a consistent weak side guy, which is where Milano will play. You're going to need a replacement for Lorenzo Alexander eventually. The Thomas Davis type. And so, yeah, they're going to need a bit more at linebacker. I think as Tremaine Edmonds gets comfortable, he'll help mask some of the deficiencies they have there. I don't think they need to spend a first-round pick on the position every year. But, you know, depending on how Matt Milano plays, they might want to invest in some depth at that spot. Because even though they have Tremaine Edmonds, they're an injury away from being back to where they were last year or even worse because they don't have Preston Brown. So, yeah, I'd say that's a position that's worth watching over the next couple of weeks, not just to monitor Matt Milano, but to see if anybody else steps up. Tanner Vallejo, Keenan Robinson, Ramon Humber, any of these guys could jump up and take some reps, and it would be a welcome sight for the Bills because they need depth at that spot in the worst way.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Matthew, I've heard others say, why, the Bills, they've been healthy, and you know, I guess there's been some teams that have been ravaged by injury, but there is one guy I want to talk about here. That being Trent Murphy, the soft tissue, the groin injury. Are we reaching a point here where maybe it's just best to shut this guy down for the rest of the preseason and get him rested and ready for week one?
I think the Bills are considering that. I think it's among their options that they're weighing at the moment. I mean, he's coming off a torn ACL, and when that happens, you're, you know, more susceptible to groin and hamstring and quad injuries. You're going to favor certain parts of your body, or you're not going to be as comfortable with the knee, and that's the type of stuff that's going to happen. The fact that he came back and hurt it again, that gives you some cause for concern. The good news for the Bills is that Shaq Lawson has stepped up and played pretty well in Murphy's absence, but they didn't throw all that money at Trent Murphy just to watch him sit on the bench. So they don't want this thing to linger and nag him throughout the season. That's why they're playing it safe right now. Are they going to play it so safe as to completely shut him down? It's in the realm of possibility right now because they only have one preseason game after this one. So if he can't get on the field next week, then you might as well bring him along slowly and sit him for that fourth game because there's no sense rolling him out there then. But, you know, I think this guy wants to be on the field. He'll be ready as much as he can be conditioning-wise, but it's definitely been a bit of a letdown for them because this is a guy they were looking forward to seeing in camp, and he just hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Matthew, one of the storylines going into tonight's game that's been discussed frequently is Corey Coleman. We got to see him on Hard Knocks this week, essentially going to Hugh Jackson's office, demand a trade, and then get it 24 hours later, and hence he's in Buffalo. You know, how has Coleman developed since joining the Bills? We saw him after practice the other night, staying late, catching extra balls as much as he can, and you know, working on his hands. Assuming, I think he was practicing with the threes most of the week, assuming that's kind of where we'll see him tonight. But what are you going to be looking for out of Corey Coleman? You know, making sure that he's not dropping balls. You know, what exactly is a good indicator that Corey Coleman might actually have a shot of sticking with the Bills?
I think we might see him a little bit with the second team offense tonight, to be honest with you. He mixed in there throughout the week. He was working with Josh Allen. I think that's where I'm going to be looking for him to play a little bit tonight, see how he works with Allen. That could be important. You know, obviously you don't want him dropping passes. You want the focus to be there and all that. More important than that, though, I want to see how he handles everything else mentally. Is he going hard on every rep? What's his body language like when things don't go his way? is he going to let guys from the other team get in his head, fans get in his head? This is a lot for a debut. The place where he used to play, the place where he just asked for a trade, the place where he's still showing up on HBO's Hard Knocks. So I think all of the other stuff that goes along with it, I don't question Corey Coleman's talent that much. What I question right now is his approach, his attitude. Is it going to be right? Because if it's not, Sean McDermott's not going to put up with it. So he has a window here where he can prove that he's going to be McDermott's type of guy. And if he doesn't prove it, then there might not be a spot for him on this roster.
What is the battle for where is the depth chart right now? If we assume Zay Jones is on the 53 and Andre Holmes is on the 53, I mean, do they keep five or six? You know, lay it out for us. It's Streeter is in that mix. I don't know, Brandon Riley, with him getting dinged this week, he might be in trouble. How do you, handicap the bottom end of this wide receiver battle, Matthew?
Yeah, I think Kelvin Benjamin, Zay Jones, Jeremy Curley, Andre Holmes are four locks. And after that, you've got Corey Coleman, Ray-Ray McCloud, Brandon Riley, and Cam Phillips fighting for one or maybe two spots. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, they're for sure going to keep six or they're for sure going to keep five. But at the moment, I think it's safe to assume that, you know, they'll at least keep five. And you know, a six seems like it might be necessary given the uncertainty they have at the position. So to me, I like Cam Phillips, but I think he's more of a practice squad guy. Ray-Ray McCloud, that's a guy that they drafted. So they're going to have some investment in him. He's got a good shot to be that sixth. Corey Coleman's got the fifth spot if he can, you know, approach the game the right way and prove that, you know, he can fit in from a culture standpoint. I think he's a lock for that fifth spot. But, you know, it's no guarantee that he's going to approach the game that way and be that type of guy for them. So I'll be interested to see if he doesn't, you know, prove to be their type of guy. Then what happens? Then who do they go with, or which guys fit in? But I think those top four are locks, and everybody else after that is fighting for a few spots. And you're right, Brandon Riley has to find his way back on the field if he wants to have a shot.
Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic is always great with his time to join us here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Matthew, I wanted to give you a moment to have the floor and let everybody know what you're working on at The Athletic. If I'm not mistaken, I think you had the chance to speak with Marcus Murphy, who we also talked to earlier this week. What about your story with Marcus Murphy at the Athletic right now?
Yeah, I did a story on Marcus Murphy. That was a fun one. You know, I talked to him, I talked to his mom, talked to his old high school coach, talked to Brandon Bean. That's a guy I think, you know, fans are going to have an easy time rooting for. He's just constantly overlooked, and he's a guy that continues to, you know, come out of nowhere and make big plays and make things happen to survive, not just in the NFL, but in college football. And even when he was in high school, he had to do that. So that's up over at theathletic.com/bills. And you can see that and everything else we've got going on. Tim Graham and I are both in Cleveland for the game, so I'll have plenty of coverage there as well. And you can see it all at theathletic.com.
Awesome. I subscribe. Highly recommend it. Matthew, appreciate your time here on a Friday. Enjoy covering the game tonight.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic. Fairburn Friday. Love having Matthew on to get his perspective on the Bills. Of course, pregame starting here just over an hour from now, 5 o'clock. We'll go to Bills Network coverage here on ESPN Rochester.
Can I say that's... I find it not a good sign, but at least I appreciate the fact that at least a McDermott guy they brought in, and Matt Milano, they're not blind to the fact that he's not doing what they're hoping an outside backer should do and his job might be in danger, that they just didn't pencil him in as the starter, that he needs to nail this down. So I can appreciate the fact that the coaching staff is... being hard on one of their own picks as opposed to a Rex Ryan.
And, hey, listen, fifth-round draft pick. I mean, you know, maybe what he gave us last year is him out of his trading range. I mean, he showed flashes last year. We're like, wow, where did this come from? It was a surprise to see Matt Milano do some of the things he did last year. It just as it's kind of a surprise now because we have that expectation based on our small sample size from last year that we expect him to be that level of a player. Keep in mind, fifth-round player. So, you know, fighting for it, getting after it, but not a lock. Not a lock to be a success.
No, and I don't know if he's going to figure it out to be the top-level outside backer, because we've talked to other experts on the show when it comes to footwork and angles and everything like that. Yeah, if you're going to go up against a good running back or a tight end on the outside, that's going to be an issue for the Bills.
When the Bills' defense is on the field, keep an eye on the flats. I'm very interested to see if Cleveland attacks the outside edges of this defense. Duke Johnson isn't the talent that Christian McCaffrey is, but if you see Duke Johnson getting over with some passes out to the flat, then I think a vulnerability of this Bills defense is starting to be exposed. And it's just the preseason. But you would expect those guys on the outside to be able to make those plays, to be able to hang with those guys. Let's see. Let's keep an eye on that going into tonight. Another thing for you to watch tonight as the Bills travel to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Let's get to NFL appetizers next, Gino. We'll serve up today's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. NFL appetizers is brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years, online at alexsribs.com. What is the status of Dez Bryant in Cleveland? While we're talking about the Cleveland Browns and some injuries to update you on based on last night's action preseason. It's not meaningless preseason action when injuries are involved, Gino.
Right. We've got news from the Redskins, the Niners, and the Patriots. So those stories and more.
ESPN Rochester has the Buffalo Bills covered.
McCarron takes the snap. They'll run it this time. Marcus Murphy finds a crease. Heads to the end zone. He is in. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. Third down now. Third and four at the Carolina 28. The snap, empty backfield. Peterman going to go to the end zone again. This time it is caught by Benjamin at the 10. Heads into the end zone. Touchdown! Calvin Benjamin, touchdown! Back to throw. Looks right, looks left, bounced around, and sacked. Brought down by Horrible Harry. Harrison Phillips sacks him back at the 20-yard line. And Josh Allen throws into the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! What a strike! What a strike thrown by Josh Allen to Ray McCloud. Josh Allen is on the scoreboard.
You can expect to hear from the biggest names with the best insight for the entire Buffalo Bills season. The Bills live on Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.